Feel the stuff. Stop. Take it away, Bob.
This is what should be done. Our one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, or meeting them, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born. May all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So what should I talk about tonight? So we just sit down for the next 10 minutes and I'll just keep quiet. No, it's always good to see you guys again. And the group is getting bigger and bigger. And there's a few new faces here. So, like I always say, the Buddhist practice of meditation is basically what is taught tonight in this class. And it's like an activity that we do, you know, like people, we have lives and we do things. We go to the toilet, we go to sleep, we wake up, we go to work. So as human beings, we're always doing something. And meditation is also like another activity that you can add into your lives. And it has its benefits. You know, as people, we eat because we're hungry, we sleep because we're tired. And I think we meditate just to regain a sense of like balance to our lives, or just having a way to just reconnect with ourselves. I'm saying this because I've been quite busy over the past couple of weeks, actually 3 weeks, because we had visiting monks come here, had friends from Sydney, the Ajahn Kemavaro, who taught here one night. So the whole week we were just busy, just doing stuff, and we didn't have that much time to meditate. And then afterwards I went to visit my family for about a couple of weeks, and I was busy as well. Mum took me to Bunnings a few times. It's like, Mum, I'm sick of this place. Why don't we go to Masters? Oh, hang on, it closed down. And I was just busy with the family and didn't have the time to meditate. So just having that distance away from the meditation practice gives a person a chance to reflect and think about the benefits of the meditation practice, and also coming along in a month's time, the monks will start their rainy season retreat,
where
we don't teach anymore. We just stay in one place. We don't travel. There is a rule that the Buddha laid down that the monks can't leave the monastery unless there's like some sort of emergency, or if the monks have to go out and teach. But other than that, we have to stay in one place.
So I'm going to still come on Monday night.
So for the 3 months, we get the chance to focus in more on our meditation practice, and that gives us a chance to just let go of a lot of activity, and to be able to focus more on the mind, and allowing the mind to just settle down naturally. But that doesn't, even though we don't have classes on Monday night, Sukhakama, he practices every night from 7 o'clock. Not every night, he has some nights off. But from 7, I think from 7 to 8:30, and Lorenz comes as well. And there's no talk, but he comes along and he meditates with Sukhakama. And some of the members of the community, they do that as well. So if you really miss us, you can come.
Every night?
Every night.
Wow.
to if you like, deepen your meditation practice. But like I said before, this, like, the 3 months gives us an opportunity to allow our minds to just calm down naturally. And that's one of the beautiful things that I really appreciate and love about this path of Buddhism, is that it's a natural path. It's something that we cannot force, something that we cannot earn hundreds and thousands of dollars and go out and use that money to buy peace. But it is something that we can add into our lifestyle, the way we live, to create that peace. And it's a very, very natural process that happens. And the example that I like to use is the way that Ajahn Brahm, you know, how he runs his monastery. And that sort of gives you an idea of how the mind works. And, you know, living with him for many, many years, 9, 10, 12 years, and Ajahn Brahm is the type of monk who is very, he's very hands-off. He's not there to dictate to his monks what to do. He doesn't say you have to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you have to meditate for 3 hours, you have to watch your breath, you have to suppress your mind, you have to do this, you have to do that. There's no sense of like control there, or a sense of using like too much willpower, or a sense of trying to achieve something. Because that's what we do as humans in life. We are overachievers. You know, when we work, we want to look for a career, and we want to overachieve, we want to earn money, we want to be well known, and we always want to do. But the way Ajahn Brahm taught us, just by living with him, is to not do too much, but allow things to happen naturally. That's why he leaves us alone. You probably heard that from him many, many times. He doesn't control his monks. He leaves the monks alone. If a monk is peaceful, he'll leave that peaceful monk alone. If the monk is causing too much trouble in the community, he'll just leave that monk alone, because he understands that things, they happen naturally. And that's the one thing that I like about this path, is that you don't really need to force or make things happen in your meditation. The only thing that you have to do is dedicate time to the meditation practice. And, you know, like coming here is a good start, and learning how to meditate once a week, and just even bringing more of that, you know, activity into your daily life and doing it more often. Doing it on Monday, then doing it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and just keep on doing it. And what happens is when you sit down quietly without doing too much, you're actually taking yourself away from all the activity in the world. And because you're not doing anything, in a sense of, you know, reading the newspaper or seeing a friend, you're not doing anything, then things will just settle down and the mind becomes quiet and clear. Just imagine, right? If you were stuck on an island in the middle of nowhere for a long, long time, what would happen to your mind? You either go crazy or you either become peaceful, right? Because there's no distractions, there's nobody to compare yourselves to, there's no like boss to please, there's no ladder, corporate ladder that you have to climb. There's none of that. There's just nothing, just you in nature. And when you put yourself in a situation like that, you can imagine the mind just settling down and calming down. And it's the same thing with this meditation practice. Because meditation is an activity of inactivity, we're sitting down still with our eyes closed, then you can just understand the logic behind it. Because the mind, the eyes are not looking at anything, the ears are not hearing anything, the body is not running or walking or sitting or working, then things will start to settle down. And you know, the peace and the stillness that will arise naturally. But as people who want to learn how to meditate as well, we have to bring a sense of like understanding of what we're doing when we're meditating, and that understanding gives us that right attitude. We understand that we're meditating so we can develop a more peaceful mind, a more clearer mind, which leads to, you know, more inner happiness. And with that understanding of why we're doing it, then we can bring an attitude of patience to the path. Just being able to sit down and observe without wanting too much. That's what it means to be patient. People in general, like a lot of us, we are impatient, right? I know I can get a little bit impatient sometimes. It's like when you want to get something done and you want to get it done now. So you do something about it. But in the practice of meditation, we try to take away that impatience when it comes to the practice. And this impatience is this idea that, okay, I've been coming to these Monday night classes now for a few years and nothing has happened. I want peace. And this is what impatient means. Or, you know, I've been sitting down for 2 or 3 minutes and I can't watch the breath. You know, what's going on? This meditation practice is lousy. You know, the Buddha's making it up. It's his grand plan for people like monks to eat and to live an easy life. But no. See, you can see with this impatience, you're just adding more chaos to the mind. Yeah, this impatience, that basically means wanting something to happen in your practice. This impatience means you're craving for something to happen in your practice. So you just take that away and understand that it's a natural process. And it's, and when I heard that it's a natural process, I was like, yes! Because you don't have to do anything, right? You can be, because sometimes, you know, sometimes if you think you have to do something, it's like going to school and getting a degree, then it may be it may be too difficult for you. You're putting that pressure on yourself, and having that understanding that things happen naturally, you're actually taking that pressure away from yourself. You're not putting yourself down because you can't get peaceful, or you're not giving up because you think it's too difficult, because you think you have to achieve something or understand what the Buddhist Dharma really is. You can take all that away because of the understanding that this is a natural path. Yeah? It happens naturally if you just put yourself in the right situation. So just imagine that you were on an island for the rest of your life. How peaceful would you become? Because all the distractions have been taken away. And that's the same thing. Meditation is sort of like putting yourself on an island. A lot of the distractions are taken away. And the more you do it, it's only natural that your mind becomes peaceful. So, that's enough said. Okay. Any questions, comments, complaints? No. Very good. So we do guided meditation, and we'll just sit for half an hour, and I'll guide you through it. Something simple, something easy, to just to bring your mind into the moment. Yeah. So you just imagine that you're on a tropical island somewhere, just by yourself, and the weather's nice and warm. You don't have any distractions, no phone calls to make, no emails to check, just being able to give yourself some time away from your life so you can reconnect with your own mind. And just like with everything, the more attention that you give something, the more you care about it. It's just like a mother who has a child. When the child's growing up, you know, especially as a baby, the mother gives it a lot of attention. And from that attention, a lot of care, and you could say loving kindness arises from just being able to give something attention. And in the same way, when we're looking at our minds, to be honest, we don't give our minds enough attention. We give other things attention. So now we can just give our minds some attention to allow that care and, you know, love to arise. So what we do now is we can ask ourselves what is going on, what is happening now. What is happening now is you're just sitting in a room quietly with your eyes closed, with your body still. What else is happening now? You're just allowing your body to relax, and also your mind to just have a break from everything. As you're meditating, you're just bringing your mind into this present moment. Just being able to do nothing. Also, just being able to sit down quietly. So what we're doing now is we're just learning how to live in the present moment. Just learning how to sit quietly. And making that quietness your primary object of meditation. And just appreciating the de-stressing effect of just sitting down mindfully of this present moment. It is true that meditation can lessen one's stress, and you can see it happening. The more quiet, the more you can be in this moment, enjoying the quietness, the less stress you will have. So the one thing that a meditator develops through time is this ability to be aware, just to be aware of what is happening now. Like your awareness becomes more brighter, more sharper, and it knows what's happening in this moment. And the more, you could say, awareness you have, the more quiet your mind becomes. Your mind becomes quiet because it's aware of what's happening now. And what is happening now? Were you sitting down with the eyes closed? Nothing is happening now. Awareness. Can experience the nothingness of the practice of meditation. So if you can be aware of this moment, this will help stop your mind from drifting off into the past or into the future, or drifting off into unnecessary thoughts. It's when you investigate the mind that thinks, you can start to see there is a lack of awareness, a lack of mindfulness. When there's awareness and mindfulness present in your meditation practice, the only thing that you become aware of is what's happening now. You're aware of the moment, and if you are aware of this moment, the mind doesn't drift off. It doesn't think too much. Okay, so any questions? Questions, comments? Complaints? No one asked questions, eh? I'm going to ask a question. Yes, Bob.
Random thoughts. Is there any sort of a trick to help with random thoughts coming and going?
No. I mean, I guess you've tried all different types of methods, watching the breath, body scanning, metta meditation, and things like that. But sometimes it gets to a point where you can't really control the thoughts that are happening in the mind. It's just like a speeding car. It's just going so fast, and the brakes aren't working. The brakes aren't working, so you try to step on the brake pedal, but nothing happens. The mind just continues on. And honestly, I think that's a question that's been asked by many, many people, and there's been many answers. But honestly, I could just say, you know, sometimes you can't do anything about it. Yeah, so you have to let it be, and just sit patiently with it. That's all you can do, right? And then, there's no like secret teaching or method to be able to just completely let go of thoughts. But you know, there are skillful means, I think, like understanding that they're not really helpful. They're like taking away your peace. I mean, if you have, you know, as a meditator, I'm sure you experience some peace and some quietness within the mind, and you can understand that is a pleasant place to be. It's quite freeing, it's quite relaxing, and over time you can start to see that having a mind that thinks a lot, random thoughts, that actually does take away your like inner peace and inner happiness. And what that does also is also like it just takes away a lot of your mental energy. This idea of mindfulness is having like higher states of energy within the mind, because one has develop that mindfulness, you know, over time, like in the meditation, and also living in daily life. We get taught as monks to just do things mindfully and like carefully. I like to use, if you do things carefully, then you're doing things mindfully, yeah? Because if you don't wipe your bum carefully, you're not doing it mindfully, so you end up with a dirty bum. So I think, yeah, with anything that you do, if you actually put care into it, whether it's, you know, combing your hair in the morning, or just driving carefully on the road, or you know, just reading things carefully, or eating with care. If you could do that, you're actually at the same time developing mindfulness in your day-to-day life. And there's always said in monasteries, you can tell the monks which are practicing properly if the toilets are clean. Yeah, and or if the paths are swept nicely, or if the place is like cared for or uncared for. And if you go to a place which is uncared for, you can sort of sense the monks are not really training properly. But if the place is, you know, you go to it, is well looked after, you can have an understanding that, you know, the monks are practicing properly, and that's what, you know, Ajahn Brahm would say, you know, these great masters, they can just look at, their disciples or the people practicing, and they just know where they're at in their practice by the way they do things. So, you know, by the way they sweep, you know, they sweep carefully, they sweep mindfully, you can say, oh yeah, that monk's, you know, he's practicing his meditation, he's learning how to let go, he's using the broom properly. And when I heard that, I took the broom and I turned it into a broomstick. I'm like, Ajahn Brahm, check this out. So I jumped on it and I said, Ajahn Brahm, I'm going to fly up like Harry Potter now. He didn't laugh. He didn't think it was funny. it's good to be back. I was away for a couple of weeks. And when I was away, this place got broken into. Oh, did you hear about it? Sure you did. What is it? It happened, I think, last Wednesday? Wednesday, Thursday? Maybe Friday?
Wednesday.
Huh? Wednesday. Wednesday, 8 a.m. So Gianerato, who's not here, he's spending time with his mum and dad. He's famous. He's on Facebook. So if you go to the, I think, Armadale Police, Facebook page, you'll see a monk holding a golden Buddha statue, because they actually caught the people who stole it, and they stole some other stuff, but that stuff wasn't found in the car. So they took a surveillance camera and they took the Buddha statue, and they took the PA system as well, and a few other gadgets. So they so basically they rocked up, and it was last Wednesday, the monks were having a day off, so they didn't know what was going on. And so Sukakama was in the house, and JR was in the, he was in the office, and they heard people outside, so they thought it was just visitors just coming in early. And that usually that happens in a monastery. You have people walking around, and you don't really think twice about it. You just think they're visitors, so you just carry on with your own business. But actually, they were thieves. So they were just looking around. They were just walking around looking for stuff. And we got some CCTV cameras that was recording what was happening. And so they drove in their white station wagon. There was, I think there was a male driver, and there were two females. And they were the two that got, they got caught by the police. And the police asked us to press charges. And when we spoke to Ajahn Brahm, Ajahn Brahm said, oh, if they stole the Buddha Rupa, oh, you can forgive them, there's no need to press charges. But then we found out that they took other stuff as well. They were actually kind of desperate, actually. They took a handle of a vacuum cleaner. That's how desperate they were.
Seriously?
Yeah, but it was, I guess it was worth a little bit, because it was like a Dyson handle made many, many years ago. And that was caught on camera as well. They were running, they were walking around. So they didn't go, they went to the front door, and the front door was locked. JR, he locks everything, which is kind of good. I don't lock anything, but he locks everything, which, and then, so they couldn't get in the house. And they probably heard a few people in there, so they came in here, and they took whatever they could in this room. So they stole the golden Buddha Rupa, but now it's back. And they went down to the lower cottage, and one of the women opened the door and looked in, and Jan was in there. So she saw Jan, and she said, "Oh shit." I'm in trouble. So then she ran off, and they jumped in the car, and they didn't plan it out that well, so they had to reverse out. So they're going quite slow, and Gianerato was just like walking there, and he actually got their number plate. He actually remembered it, and that's how they That's how the cops found out who they were. So they got the number plate, and he called 000, and within 20 minutes, they caught the thieves. And the moral of the story is, if you don't want to get busted, don't rob a Buddhist monastery. So now, you know, some people say living in a Buddhist monastery is like living in a jail. Now it feels like we're living in a jail because everything's locked up. No, but that's okay. We're just being cautious for the time being, but I'm sure over time things will be left unlocked because that's just human nature.
Things within 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think they got rid of a few things, the PA system and some internet gear as well. Yeah, and they
20
just,
minutes.
What they found in the car was the camera, CCTV camera, and the Buddha statue. Yeah. But yeah, you know, monastic life is it's a bit of drama from time to time. Yeah.
It's not as bad as when they took all the tools from Bob.
Oh yeah.
They cleaned it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened in Bodhinyana Monastery, because the workshop is just when you drive in, there's a workshop there, and it's padlocked and everything. And on one of the big ceremony days, there were just a few people around the workshop, and they had the garage doors open with all the tools in there. And even monks walked past, and they thought, oh, they're tradies or something like that, just loading up the car. And they basically just took off with almost everything.
Including the monastery trailer.
Yeah, they took the trailer, the monastery trailer. Oh my gosh. And then Ajahn says, Santuti, what were your cousins doing on the weekend? What are you trying to say, Ajahn? They're making a bit of cash. On Gumtree. Anyways, any more questions on meditation, anything like that? It's 8 o'clock, so we are finishing up now. But if you are afraid of asking questions, you can come up afterwards and ask me. If you want to ask questions, you can ask myself some questions about meditation or anything like that. And we also have a retreat on the 6th of July. It's a half day retreat, starting from 1 to 5. If you want to register, you can come see me, or you can just have a look on that piece of paper where the sliding door is. Okay, Bob.
Good goodness that arises from my practice. May my spiritual teachers be the guides of great virtue. My mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly and dear to the hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain their threefold bliss and realize the deathless through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing. May all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind until I realize nirvana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, unsurpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and disillusion be.